Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On this Christmas Day 2013, we focus on the hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain. As we focus on the hymn, we're going to take a look, first of all, at some background information about the hymn so we know where it came from and how it got to us today. And then we'll take a look at the words themselves and also how they connect in with God's holy word. Thinking about the background information, if you took out a Lutheran service book, opened it up and looked down in the lower left-hand corner, you would see that hymn identified as an African-American spiritual. Years ago, we would have said it was a Negro spiritual. But that's the origin of the hymn. So we might say, how did that hymn get from where it began all the way into our hymnal today? Well, this is basically the course it took. From African-American slaves working in the fields to small slave churches, eventually into white churches, and then even to large concert halls, first of all in the South, and then in the North, and finally into Lutheran service book back not that many years ago when it was published. Well, with most African American spirituals, they centered on earthly pain and suffering, and the joy and happiness that only heaven seemed to offer. For a moment, try to imagine being a slave. Try to imagine this. So you are told what you must and must not do. You are told what you must and must not say, and you are told where you must and must not go. You have no choice. Obey or else. For those who were trapped in slavery, they understood what their earthly lot was. They understood they had to do what they were told, or there could be great trouble for them, even death. So what were they thinking about? They were thinking that I'm stuck here in this situation in life. There's no way out of it here, but I want to make sure that when I leave this life, there's something better than what I have here. And they knew their ticket to paradise was Jesus. So what were they thinking about as they worked in the fields? What were they thinking about as they had to do what they had to do? They were thinking about getting out of there. They were thinking about the paradise to come. So they were thinking about their Savior and what God had promised. So they were thinking about it. They were singing about it. They were lifted up by it as they did things that they didn't necessarily want to do. Boy, when I say that, it reminds me of the work that God is doing through Reverend James May in Africa. We think back to 2006 when he was called to be a missionary to Togo, but first of all doing language training there in Burkina Faso, that little poor country in West Africa. And what are the three questions that people were asking him? They were saying to him, is there a God? Is there a heaven? How do we get there? They were very much, those people are very much like the slaves of long ago. They felt trapped in their situation. They were not looking for something better in this life, but rather they were looking to what is coming through God's gift of heaven, which we receive through the Christ of Christmas. And then Pastor May had the privilege of pointing them to that good news. And now there are many congregations in Burkina Faso because he answered those questions with the truth of God's holy word. A little bit more on the background of the hymn. Not long after the Civil War, there was a man named John Wesley Work. He was an African-American, but also a scholar and a musician, a very rare thing for an African-American to be very well schooled and very talented as he was at that time. But the Lord used him, though, to be able to search out some of these hymns that would have been lost forever, to gather a choir from a local college, and then with that choir finally traveling worldwide to spread the good news of this hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain, as well as a number of other, again, what we might call Negro spirituals. Let's take a look now at the hymn itself. We first of all go to the refrain. It says, "Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born." So which people initially were telling that good news? It was the shepherds, sure. So after the angels returned to heaven, the Bible says that the shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, what did they do? The Bible says they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. But we might say, though, where exactly did they spread that word? Well, we don't know for certain, but possibly on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Okay. In stanza number one, it says, "While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light." From what we know from long ago and what we can imagine, the shepherds were very unimportant people in the sight of the world. Maybe we could say that shepherds back then were similar to the slaves around the time of the Civil War. And you can see that connection. Nevertheless, think about this. It was to lowly shepherds to whom the angel announced these words. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." When famous or wealthy people are somehow missing or lost, people search diligently to find them because they're important people. But really, though, who cares about shepherds? Who cares about slaves? Who cares about ordinary, common sinners like you and me? Does anybody care? We might think no one does, but there is good news because God does care about each and every one of us. 700 years before Jesus was born, the Lord moved Isaiah to write, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." That "us" includes you and me, and with the announcement to the shepherds, that "you" also includes you and me. That is good news. This child who was born, that child is Jesus, the one through whom God the Father has saved the entire world from their sins. Jesus Christ, he is the Savior from the very lowest to the very highest. No one is left out. What good news. In the second stanza, it says, "The shepherds feared and trembled when, lo, above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth." So angels are awesome, awesome created beings created by the Almighty God. Angels are messengers. So angels bring messengers from God to people. We see that, for example, with Gabriel bringing a message to Zechariah in regard to his wife Elizabeth having a child who would be named John. Thus, John the Baptizer, also Gabriel talking to Mary about Jesus, and then another angel, or maybe even Gabriel, though he is not named there, appearing to Joseph in a dream and telling him about Jesus. So many messages coming from God to us via angels. Then, going ahead to the time of Jesus' birth, we come to the shepherds themselves. The Bible says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." But then, after having heard the announcement of the good news of the Savior's birth, the Bible says, "Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" Try to imagine being those shepherds. They were shaking with fear, and yet at the same time, they had to be filled with great joy. What an experience they had. Won't it be exciting to talk to them in heaven and find out how it was that very night? And then finally in the third stanza, down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Going back to today's epistle reading from Hebrews chapter 1, let's identify some of the realities about who this Jesus Christ is, who this Savior is. Is he just some special man? Is he just a great teacher? Did he work some miracles and we should be impressed with that? Or is he much, much more than that? What does the Bible say? It says, God has spoken to us by his Son. God appointed him heir of all things. God made the universe through him. He is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact representation of God's being. He is sustaining all things by his powerful word. He has provided purification for sins. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Thinking about the greatness of our Savior, we would think, oh, now I'm disappointed. He is so great, and I am so much nothing. Why would he ever think about me or save me? But yet, there is good news, because not only did the Father say, Son, I want you to go, but the Son said, yes, Father, I'm willing to go. And I'm willing to go and do exactly what you want me to do to save everyone from the lowest all the way to the highest. Think about these words in 2 Corinthians 8. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, for my sake, became poor, so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. In a sense, we are the rich ones here in America. But God wants us to know that because of our sin, in fact, we are poor, and even worse than poor. But through Jesus Christ, we have spiritual riches, we have spiritual treasure, we have a wonderful eternity coming, and it's not because of any good thing we have done, it's all about our Lord Jesus Christ. The Christ came, and then he lived that sinless life. He died that sacrificial death. He did it all for us. So we were super low, but now, in Christ, we have been lifted super high. So what should we do? What's a good thing to do here on Christmas Day 2013? Let us go forth to the mountains, to the hills, and everywhere in between to share the good news that Jesus Christ, the Savior of the entire world, not only has he been born, but he has completed his saving work, and through him, heaven is open for all. And all God's people said, Amen.